Dot com.
Tragedy in a hair salon in California. Tragedy averted when a Saudi ambassador was almost taken out in a strange, twisted plot that involved two men from Iran. And conversation about primaries being moved up. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. We like to say we're at the crossroads of what's happening across the country. Certainly, there's lots of water cooler buzz, and a lot of it, to be honest, besides this horrible thing in California, because anytime you have a gunman and everybody gasps and they think, oh, I go to a hair salon, my kids go to school, I've been at that Starbucks, I was at a McDonald's where that happened a few years ago. You know what I'm talking about, the crazy nut that goes in with the gun, and then the questions afterwards about, oof, I live in a state where, geez, if only we could carry, maybe somebody would have been able to do something, but we don't. Or others who say, see, if we had stricter gun laws, that wouldn't have happened. So it kind of rips open that debate. But I think in the beginning, it's not about the debating. I think it's about the people affected by somebody losing it and shattering the lives of so many that they probably don't even know. And in the case of this beach town in Cali, I'm going to say that's what happened. This guy lost his juju and was having a problem with his ex-wife, and it looks like it could have been a custody issue, whatever. Knew she went to this salon, so decided, I'm going in. I'm going to the salon. He goes in, and he just shoots away. People are hiding in closets, in bathrooms, in facial rooms, anything, just to try to avoid the bullets, because they really don't know what's happened. It's that split reaction where you can't believe it. Are you kidding? Nobody gets murdered in this town. We don't even lock our doors. Don't we recognize this guy? He's got a gun? And then it's too late. Too late in Seal Beach, California, 8 people dead. Then he leaves, and he stopped a half mile from where he went into the salon and decided to kill those people, and calmly goes away in the car with the police. You got other people who are critically wounded, other people who were also wounded, some not critical. There are certainly, those lives are ripped apart. And it's like a web. It's not just one person. It's everyone related to that person. And then this guy, if it is a custody battle, he's got a kid or kids. Their father is now a mass murderer. For what? What kind of argument or problem is worth that? And I know these 6 sordid details from what made him do it or what pushed him or whatever his deal was will start to emerge. And then we'll just all do the same thing, gasp and say, oh, wow. I don't even know what I would do if that happened, if I was in a salon and that happened. That's what people start to think. You think about yourself, you think about, those poor, poor people. And then the conversation starts about the guns, because California, of course, very strict gun laws, and the governor, Jerry Brown, just signed another one. It just signed another law where you couldn't even have display guns other than if you were going, you were buying them and literally walking out with them at a gun show and a few other exceptions. Wow. Let's go to the world of politics here as well at the top. And the reason why is because we're all talking about this. We're all sick of the economy. We're all sick of the job situation. We all want relief. We all want relief. NBC, Wall Street Journal, did a poll. They do lots of them. This time, though, Kane, who 6 weeks ago was Mr. Nowhere, meaning he had like single digits, is on top. He tops Romney in the poll. Do you believe it? 6 weeks ago, he wasn't on the radar so much. A few people talked about him. It's not that nobody knew who he was. He was out there at all the debates and whatnot, but he wasn't getting the play. Now he's getting the play. Why? Partially because of a debate in Orlando, Florida, and a saying, 999, that's what he would do with the economy across the board, 999. He would try to make that happen with the income taxes, etc. And that struck a chord. Some people don't like it, so it sent them in the opposite direction. Some people do like it. And we're doing our own straw poll, by the way. So in this NBC Wall Street Journal deal, he's number one, 27% of Republican voters in the poll go for him. Romney's behind him, 23%. Rick Perry, 16%. And then it goes down to the Texas Congressman Ron Paul, who has 11, Newt Gingrich, 8, Bachman, 5, the former Utah Governor John Huntsman, 3%. What's going to be interesting is to see what happens with all these primaries. And in New Hampshire, they're talking about a crazy move update that could actually land in December. My goodness, we're already in the middle of October. I caught up with Victoria Jones from Talk Radio News, and here's what she said about that. What would make us, I think, a little bit hectic, at least for people who have to cover the primary, is this one, when you think of holidays and all that stuff. Is it really true that they're thinking about moving the New Hampshire primary to sometime in December?
It's really quite extraordinary. The New Hampshire Secretary of State has been doing his job for 40 years. His name's Bill Gardner. He's sort of nominally a Democrat, but actually what he is he's, I don't give a damn. I do my job. I don't have a cell phone or email, and I don't return calls. And so that is his attitude. And he's just written a letter today, a three-page statement saying, if Nevada does not adjust its caucus date to a later time, I cannot rule out the possibility of a December primary. And he basically says it leaves New Hampshire no choice to consider December of this year, the dates of Tuesday, December 13th and Tuesday, December 6th are realistic options. And we have logistics in place to make either date happen if needed. Well, needless to say, everybody has exploded and their heads are in tatters all over the country. Because it means campaigning throughout Christmas.
Yeah, and so, of course, for the people who are running, that's what would happen. And then the people covering this, too, and she's right about Bill Gardner, because he has the authority to decide what the Granite State's primary date is. And if Nevada doesn't move the January 14th caucuses, then the primary would have to jump up, or it could, a full month. And they might not do it. I'm hearing they're really leaning in a different direction. Otherwise, January 3rd would have been when they would have done it. And then we see what happens with Iowa. And why is this significant? Because now that's the whole whittling down process as you move along to the amount of Republicans in this thing for real. And national law requires states, by the way, to send ballots out to military voters. Remember, this was a sticky thing. 45 days before elections happen. New Hampshire's election filing date, guess when it is? October 28th. And they got to have a few days to at least print out those ballots. Can't forget the military. That wouldn't be right. More politics on the flip side. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
When making important financial decisions, you should always know the facts. That's why Midas Resources is willing to pay you to read the facts. Midas Resources, a team of hand-picked financial specialists with decades of financial experience who are ready to provide you with state-of-the-art, up-to-date financial services. Midas Resources offers a host of services and stands behind their products. In fact, if you call and order their free Midas report, Midas Resources will pay you. This detailed report will provide you with financial history on the safest and most profitable areas to invest in. If you read the report, Midas Resources will send you a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar. So what are you waiting for? Get the facts and call Midas Resources toll free at 888-292-2709. That's 888-292-2709. And remember, if you read the Midas report, you'll receive a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar.
Are you tired of spending money for metal canning lids year after year? Then stop! Stop buying metal lids and get Tatler reusable canning lids. Made of USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, Tatler canning lids let you safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways that contain BPA, but Tatler canning lids are indefinitely reusable and guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning and contain no BPA. Tatler lids are dishwasher-safe, perfect for standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders by phone at 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's 1-877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com. Tatler Reusable Canning Lids, the original since 1976.
Following the Occupy movement. Hey, by the way, Kate Delaney, the captain of this little old ship, happy to be here navigating some rough waters at times across the country. People are fed up, I'm telling you. It is the time of movements, whether we had the Tea Party, you know, a year and a half, 2 years ago, which is still now going strong, to this Occupy movement that people don't agree on. Some feeling it's more of a setup because you have the union guys that are jumping in on it. But I don't think it's a setup. I think there's people that are using it to their advantage, the union types that ran down, of course. But you've got some kids there that are definitely, I can tell, they're not being prompted by anyone. They're unemployed. And then you have people that'll say, well, if you're unemployed, why don't you spend time getting a job? And see, that going back and forth does nothing because, honestly, I bet you there's a time where we could say that we're, yeah, he's so lazy. That guy's so lazy. He's not looking for a job. She's not looking for a job. They're not trying. I think now you point to people and you say they are killing themselves to get jobs. I know many examples of jobs where somebody was so overqualified, ridiculously overqualified, that they desperately were trying to dumb down their resume, lie, because they couldn't get a job even just to get the basics, and then had to answer crazy amounts of questions to be a catering person for Boston Market. They had to take a psychological exam for 16 hours for a part-time job, and that's just to fill out the application. So sometimes there's the frustration bubbles over with what you have to do to even get to that point. But regardless, the Occupy movement, is it real? Is it fake? Is it doing anything? Are there any organizers to it? Does it look like they're pulling things together? Is there somebody in charge? Somebody always has to be in charge. I don't care. Even with movements, there has to be some organization, because the better organized you are, you can be loose and you can meet and you can do all those things. But eventually, what's the point? What are you trying to do? Who are you trying to get to listen to you? Here's what I say. When they're like the Occupy Wall Street guys, I saw them the second day I was in New York. I heard them and just blanked on what it was because there was only a small group of them, and I was down there at the memorial. So I could hear them, "We are 99%ers," or whatever, but you could barely. It was faint. It was a very small band of people. Nobody was paying attention to them, not really. And now, of course, that has expanded. Hundreds of people, Al Sharpton stopping by, and Russell Simmons stopping by to say, "You go," and Susan Sarandon stops by in New York, so celebrity types of all sorts to lend their attaboys to the cause. A lot of the Democrats are careful about what they're saying about it, but they're supporting it, saying, well, of course, you know, with the banks, they're upset with the things that are happening, and, you know, they should protest. But even Democrats, some Democrats are saying they're not in the right place. I think, and I'll say this again, if you have all these people in these movements in San Francisco, which we're going to let you hear what some of the people had to say out in San Francisco, to New York, to Chicago, to Raleigh, to Philly, to Jersey, to wherever. You're listening to me in Connecticut. You know there's a band of occupiers down the street, and this is happening in all kinds of big cities and small suburban areas, but it comes back to the same thing. Is it just a hodgepodge of people furious at what's happened to them, so they're yelling all kinds of different things in the street, and is it going to lead to anything? Is anyone paying attention? Could some kind of legislation be drawn off out of this movement because there's pressure to do something? I mean, that's the key, right? And then there's people that say, well, this is going to be riots. This is what they want. This will be like Greece. And I don't think it goes that far, but the people who are part of the Occupy movement, I do think they need to get it right as to where they're protesting. Go to the banks. Go to B of A. Go to Wells Fargo. Go to whatever bank it is. And you get hundreds of people, and you're allowed to do that. You're out there in the parking lot. Oh, you will stick in their craws like you wouldn't believe. They'll be on the hotline in a second to whoever they have in their pocket in Washington to lean on them, so to speak. So, because they're not going to want that. They're not going to want the disruption of the banks. And then if people get upset enough, it's the old boycott thing. Usually there's not enough for those kind of movements, and that's the problem. But lately there has been. So if enough people pulled their money from Bank of America, went to another bank, went to a credit union, whatever they did, If there enough people did that and they felt it, then they got to answer the call. Somebody's going to do something. Because remember, the people at the top don't want to lose their money. They don't want to lose that third vacation home in Sarasota or Mallorca, Spain, or wherever, or the Gulfstream jet they have. Oh, no, no, no. The more toys you have, the less you want to lose them. It's harder to go back down that ladder. So trust me, that kind of noise will fuel that movement. Enough noise outside of the Capitol, an organized march on the mall with filling it up, would make people take notice. Because what do politicians want? They want to get reelected. They got to listen to their constituents. Because when they don't, that's when they get in trouble. And that's when Tea Party people, for example, came in November and some of the incumbents fell. Occupy San Francisco. They had some thoughts on where they're headed, what they're talking about, and why the Occupy movement. Take a listen.
I'd like to be able to get in the building and do my job.
If any working class person had done what the banks and Wall Street had done, they'd be in jail in a hot second.
I think if you look at the rate of foreclosures and the fact that you have banks receiving basically a $30 billion cash handout from taxpayers, people are really upset about that.
99% of the population is pretty clear on the fact that we've been getting a raw deal. And I don't think that there are no waters to muddy. We have a lot of things to figure out, but what the most important thing is that we know that we're unified.
All right, unified. They got to get unified if it's going to mean anything. And the banks, none of us got over the bank thing. Jay in Kentucky, hello.
What's going on, Kate?
Hey, man, a lot of things are going on, I'm telling you. Even this lighter side of baseball.
Yeah, that's one thing I called about. Detroit Tigers, they blew it. I'm a Tiger fan. I originally grew up in Toledo, Ohio, which the farm team for the Tigers was right there, Toledo Mudhens, and I went to a lot of their games. So.
Oh, yeah.
I live down here in Tennessee, drive through Kentucky every night, listen to you, doing this Toyota run. But my fan on the Tigers... Big mistake tonight. Big mistake. If you're in a race, you got a semi and a sports car, which one are you going to take? You're going to take the sports car.
Absolutely.
If you're in any kind of a race. Mm-hmm. So when you're in the bottom of the eighth inning and you got a truck on third base and a tie ball game with one out and a guy on first and third, Cabrera's on third base, he's the truck, why don't you grab that sports car off the bench, put him in to pinch run, because you got an inning left, Cabrera's not coming back to the plate again. That fly ball to right would have scored a fast runner instead of that truck on third base. That was a coaching mistake. That wins the game.
Yeah, you're right.
11 innings. It goes 11 innings, and they would have won it in the ninth because they didn't score. Texas didn't score in the ninth. So that was a coaching error by the Tigers.
I'm glad you said that. They blew it. Absolutely, they blew it. If somebody just looked at the score, they'd see 7-3 and 11, but it wasn't about that. You're absolutely right. That was a big mistake there because he would have been able to get in, and then you wouldn't, and you see that collision. He would have been able to get in. The sports car would have been able to get in, and you're right. They would have won. That's too bad because now they're in a hole 3-1. 1-3.
Yes, ma'am. Well, I'll call you tonight or tomorrow night with my nail score shot, but I wasn't going to bother you today, but that just really bugged me, and I had to get in on it.
I'm glad that you called in. Jay, drive safely. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Yeah.
Right.
That's a rough one for Tiger fans because now the Texas Rangers are on the verge of going to the World Series again. They just need that next win. They got one more in Detroit. Then they don't win that. They go back to Texas, so... Detroit has to win them all out, and they really could have tied this thing, and that would have made a difference. Sorry about that, Jay, and to all the other people listening to us, because I know we got a lot of Tiger fans out there. Ooh, that's too bad. We can count next.
Freeze-dry guy customers, take advantage. No, we really want you to take advantage of the October 2011 month special. We have bug-out meat buckets to beef up your real freeze-dried beef and chicken supply. You can beat everyone to the punch because we're offering Freeze-Dry Guy customers this order early October deal. Special pre-order price of $119 is now $109. Whether on the go or storing for the future, you have a gold standard in convenience, taste, and nutrition. When variety and quick preparation is paramount, our handy 4-serving pouches are excellent for 72-hour kits, camping, hunting, and backpacking. Our freeze-dried meat can even be added to your everyday routine. From last-minute dinner ideas to high-protein snacks, order now at freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-FOOD.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hi, I'm Brian Brody for Solutions from Science. And you know, in this economy, it doesn't seem like there is much that any of us can do to cut back on our monthly expenses. That's why I'm excited to tell you about a way to cut your light bill by 90%. Yep, a full 90%. Ultra-efficient LED light bulbs are now available from Solutions from Science. They run cooler, cheaper, and they're guaranteed for 30 years. That's right, 30 years. And with many experts predicting electric electrical rates could double or triple in the next few years. There has never been a better time to make the switch to high-efficiency LEDs. And here's the best part. These are not old-style LEDs. These are the new, cutting-edge LEDs with full-spectrum light. You can learn all about the new LEDs by watching my video at LEDfreedom.com. I'll show you how to save 90% on your light bill. Go to LEDfreedom.com.
OpticsPlanet.com is where discerning gun owners and outdoorsmen go to gear up. OpticsPlanet has the best selection of rifle scopes, red dots, night vision, holsters, bags, and tactical gear on the planet. With always low prices, free shipping on most orders, and expert customer service. Go to OpticsPlanet.com/GCN to get a free gift with purchase. That's OpticsPlanet.com/GCN. Or call 800-332-OPTICS. 800-332-6784.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
What's been the problem with phone companies? High prices and contracts that lock you in for 2 years minimum. Not FreedomTelephones.com. Freedom Telephones are designed around the concept and reality of patriotism, loyalty, and privacy. With FreedomTelephones.com, there are no contracts, no credit checks, and no social security numbers required. That's why our name is FreedomTelephones.com. Finally, residential, mobile, and business telephones and plans that are private and never lock you into a long-term contract. Want a low price? Residential and business plans start at only $14.99, and mobile plans start at just $39.99. Plus, every month you pay your bill, FreedomTelephones.com contributes to your favorite GCN programs. Don't wait. Support the cause and get the highest quality and the lowest prices by calling 1-800-600-5553. That's 800-600-5553. FreedomTelephones.com. Portable. Private. Perfect.
Boy, I hope you're careful if you're eating cantaloupe. This is scary to me. I like cantaloupe. You know, it's a good thing when you're trying to get in shape, you're trying to eat a little fruit here and there, and that's one of my favorites, to get them in the cup when you go to the restaurants, you know what I'm talking about. Well, this cantaloupe listeria, the death toll went up a little bit. 23 people have died from eating the cantaloupe. 116 people are sick. It's tied to contaminated Colorado cantaloupe. This is where this goes back to, so let me re-rack this story, and you're not in a panic mode right now as you think, I just got cantaloupe at the market. I know a lot of guys that eat cantaloupe, like single guys, that are, they're in pretty good shape. They'll get a six-pack of beer, some cantaloupe, and some healthy things. So they got the beer, got the cantaloupe, got some celery and some other things, but leave the cantaloupe behind if it's traced back to, because certainly this is an all cantaloupe, but it's traced back to Colorado. So 25 states, 4 outbreak strains of listeria. It all began or started on or after July 31st, but more people can develop it up to 2 months after eating it. So you might not have the symptoms, and then all of a sudden you have them. There's a cantaloupe farm, Jensen Farms, in Holly, Colorado, and they think that's where this outbreak has been linked to. And you have five people who died in Colorado, 5 in New Mexico, 2 in Kansas, Louisiana, Texas, 1 in Indiana. I'm saying this because I know we have listeners in all these areas. Indiana, Maryland, Missouri. Jeff just called us from Missouri. Nebraska, New York, Oklahoma, and Wyoming. Oh, that's so awful. 4 were related to pregnancy. One was diagnosed in a newborn, three in pregnant women. Well, I don't even want to go through these ugly numbers anymore, but it included, this is how come it's so widespread. Because you think of how many of those cantaloupes were shipped out. 300,000 cases of whole cantaloupes from those farms. And then they had a couple of different recalls. But good luck with the recalls, because think about it. You go to get cantaloupe, you're looking, you're going, they're putting them in the supermarket, you're going to the supermarket, you're picking them up there. I mean, that's a big concern. Big concern. So, hate to start with the ugly numbers first, but I think a lot of people miss the whole cantaloupe thing. I had a friend who is she's, you know, in great shape, and she's saying she was giving her husband cantaloupe, and they ate a whole cantaloupe, and then the next day, they didn't know about the story, and then the next day they found out about it and were like in a panic trying to trace back the cantaloupe. And see, this is another one of those things where you think, well, this is in my backyard. It's not happening here. And then you find out where they ship them, and then you start to put the pieces together, and then they say, oh, yeah, 2 months out, you might come down with these symptoms. So you can never, ever say, it's never going to happen to me. Because that's when... not trying to be a doomsday sayer, but that's when things happen, when you don't have your guard up and you're not paying attention. So if you didn't know the thing about the cantaloupe, then you wouldn't know, maybe I better be careful and ask a few questions to make sure this isn't in my area. All right, how about this story about the Amish people that were assaulted with haircuts? This is strange. And it came out of Ohio. And what the deal is here, and when I first heard it, I thought, I know that area. And sure enough, I do know that area. It's Bergenholz, Ohio. What happened was, you know, the Amish people, they pretty much stay among their own. But there's what they're calling a breakaway group that's accused of attacking the mainstream members by cutting off their beards and hair. So they break in the middle of the night, they cut off the beard and the hair, they just have masks on. And what the deal turns out to be is there's a 66-year-old leader who says he brought his followers from a community 15 years ago, a few miles away, so they could live by a stricter doctrine without interference, because there's sort of a little revolution going on with Amish people, the real strict, and then the others who don't want to live by the strict rules. And he's saying, listen, this is awful. I wanted something better for my children and grandchildren and younger ones, and I want to drop out of sight and take life easy. And so these hair-cutting attacks are wrong against several people, some of them women, have occurred in recent weeks. And, you know, typically they grow the beards as adults and stop trimming them when they marry. And the beards and the women's long hair are the high esteem thing. So they went in and did the damage. And they live in this village of about 700 people. They arrested a couple of the sons. I'd like to be saddled with that last name. A 38-year-old, a 26-year-old, and then some other guy. And so they had to have a hearing in Steubenville, Ohio. That's how I knew that area, because I went to school in Ohio University, so not too far away. And what they did is the guys they picked up, they went into a house, and they, you know, the next thing you knew, they were holding them down, and they used scissors, I guess, and a battery clipper to cut their beards. Ugh, that would hurt. You know, you're trying to get out. You're trying to get away from the people that are. It's like a bad fraternity prank. Some of the terrible things they do, hazing the people, and that's one of the things they do sometimes, cut their hair or whatever. I guess they're gonna have to solve that riddle between the old versus the new in the Amish community. That's not the first time I've heard something like that happening. The Mummers Parade is huge in Philadelphia. Many of you might not know what it is. They strum with banjos. It's really cool to see. And actually, it's televised on New Year's Day every year around the whole country. But what's strange is an anonymous tip led to an undercover prostitution bust at the clubhouse of one of the famous Mummers brigades, because they have tons of brigades. I mean, the parade goes on all day long. And 11 people were arrested. They did a six-week investigation, and that's what they found out. They found out that there was prostitution running rampant through there. So what would happen is at this club, this so-called Mummers Club, and it's a famous one, they were charged a $30 cover charge for beer and other refreshments, and then there's about 60 men or so and about 15 women inside, and the women were prostitutes. The officers, this is how they nabbed them, they knew something was going on, they were investigating. They were offered sex for money, and that's how they were able to arrest them and arrest the people in there. I mean, that's a pretty big scandal with that many people that were there when that happened. It's like the Philly Mardi Gras, and they've done it for a century. You've got these costumed guys, like I said, that march through the city, and there's comics and other performers, and the Downtowners Fancy Brigade is one of the biggest and most successful of the marching brigades. Do you know that it won its first championship in 1964? Now they're going to be known for, those guys that were hooking up with prostitutes when they said they were practicing for the big Mummers Day parade. All right, this is kind of sad news if you're a Family Guy fan. And I know a lot of people that listen to America Tonight with your sarcastic wit, many of you, like the Family Guy because you've sent me clips from the show, and we've used clips on America Tonight almost from the beginning from it, because there are some funny moments that work. I love the guy who created this. I mean, I think he's just brilliant, Seth MacFarlane. And he's talked about when he's going to end the show. He's saying that he wishes, because, you know, they come up with these scripts, and they just did the 200th episode. So for whatever it takes to put these things together, he now is fantasizing about when it will end. But how can you end a business where you're getting, we're talking about people who are unemployed and all the things they're having to deal with and whatever. And you're talking about MacFarlane, who has done a brilliant thing with this, with the character in this show and whatnot. But a 5-year, $100 million deal is what he got in 2008. I don't know. So if I were him, I don't know that I'd be wishing that the series would end. I don't think so. It's always a top show, number one show, among young adults especially. And the ad rates, this is how they justify these salaries, the ad rates for a 30-second ad. If you're watching The Family Guy, think about this next time. Whatever they're pumping out there, for a 30-second ad, they're getting $220,000 for one ad. That's a lot of money for one ad. Because they have a captive audience and enough people tune into it that they, you know, obviously they're getting they feel like they're getting their return on the investment. Boy, that's a lot of numbers. That fits perfectly into this edition of We Can Count, and that's the last story for We Can Count. The Family Guy, 200 episodes. It's like The Simpsons. Think of how long The Simpsons have been around, and Fox now saying they might do a Simpsons channel, just all Simpsons, that's it, nothing else on that channel. But boy, for the money that it pulls in for Fox, I guess they feel like if it was on its own channel, it would increase even more. They could increase the ad rates and just keep running some of the other ones over and over again and not bump into other programming like they do on Fox, or maybe just syndicate it over there and use the fresh stuff on Fox. Who knows? Wouldn't it be wild to have that problem? That's all you have to do, figure out what to do with these programs. That'd be a fun job, I think. Hang with us. Odds and Ends next.
Introducing a diabetes breakthrough, an easy, natural, organic way to bring relief to diabetics. Introducing MDS Forte, a concentrated super strength extract formulated for those who are looking for quick action. Listen to what the revolutionary MDS Forte can do for you. MDS Forte reduces glucose levels safely and effectively, reduces cholesterol and triglyceride levels, increases HDL or good cholesterol while reducing LDL or bad cholesterol. MDS Forte reduces A1C, improves eyesight and circulation to the limbs, and helps weight loss. Is non-toxic, caffeine-free, 100% natural, 100% organic, and comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Waiting for the side effects disclaimers? With MDS Forte, there are none. Order a 25-day treatment of MDS Forte at BestBloodSupport.com or call 213-405-5355. Call 213-405-5355 or go to BestBloodSupport.com. That's BestBloodSupport.com for MDS Forte, a diabetes breakthrough.
You can bet your life on eFoods Direct. Alex has told you about the amazing, great-tasting, long-term storable food from eFoods Direct and how a food savings account is your best insurance against natural disasters, job loss, and high food costs. But did you know that this dehydrated food also protects you against foodborne contaminants like E. coli and salmonella? Those poisonous critters can't live in low-moisture food from eFoods Direct. Ask for the Alex Fall Special. The Fall Special is a 24-day supply of food in a convenient portable container, a $259 value for only $199. Save $60 on 160 servings of the best food on the planet. Call 800-409-5633 and ask for the Alex Fall Special and go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Call 24 hours, 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. You can bet your life on eFoods Direct.
This is a special announcement for all Americans who owe back taxes to the IRS or state. Pay attention. There is a special toll-free hotline set up especially for you. This hotline will give you free information on how you can legally reduce or eliminate your tax debt. Call the Consumer Tax Hotline today at 1-800-652-3707. Grab a pen or put the number in your cell phone, but call 1-800-652-3707. When you call, you will speak with qualified companies that will tell you how to stop the collection calls, IRS letters, bank levies, and wage garnishments. Plus, these companies will deal directly with the IRS on your behalf, so you won't have to. Even if you haven't filed returns or you're already in a payment plan, you can still get relief. The current government administration is very amicable and wants to work out a program in your best interest, but this won't last forever, and your tax problem only gets worse if you do nothing or try to handle it yourself. It does make a big difference in who you call, so call the Consumer Tax Hotline today for free information. 1-800-652-3707. That's 1-800-652-3707.
I like to see you right across the floor. I like to do the thing to your collarbone bone. I like to reggae, but you dance.
Here's a question, America, that all of you can relate to. Forget the politics for a second. And some of the other things that make us all almost become irrational because we're so tired of chasing the same old tale around and around and around and around again. But we all live in this computer world right now, except for Mark in New York, because as he tells us, he refuses to get a computer. But the rest of us are so wired in, it's ridiculous whether you have the iPads or the phones and everything's coming through the Android or the iPhone or, I mean, just anything, whether it's the laptop or whatever. Go into any coffee shop, I don't care, small city, big city, you know, medium suburb, and people are hooked up. I was in a tiny, tiny Texas town last week and Starbucks, everybody in there. There was a Starbucks. Everybody in there was wired. They had wireless, and everybody was on some sort of device. So because you have to connect to the Internet, you have those Internet-charged things, and you have to worry about viruses, right? What do you do with the viruses? I'm going to let you hear a little snippet of a guy that we talked to on the show, which you can also go on demand and catch this interview. the whole interview. And he's great. He's been on the Today Show. He's been on, you know, a lot of national hits all over the place on the tube because he cuts through the clutter. He's like the Herman Cain of telling you what to do to protect yourself. And as somebody who's been a victim of that too many times, it's crazy. I'll tell you what's happened to me. I've gotten the, I had the thing where my mail was hacked into and they said that I was in London and sent out letters to every, notes to every person on my mail, on my email, everyone. And I had all kinds of contacts and then of course you can't get back into it. And he had my email, got that note and woke me up and told me about it. This was probably 8 months ago or some such thing. And I've also been a victim of that fake, the fake thing where you sign up for, right now, this is the, all this malware is attacking your computer and you have to, if you click on this, we'll run the thing for you and then they're hooked into your system. I mean, they're coming after you. And that's happened to me too, because I was in the middle of something and I clicked on the box and that's what hooked me. And I was trying to just get it off my computer. I wasn't trying to order it. I didn't do any of that. But it doesn't matter. That's what they needed. The click. So twice in two different ways I've been duped. I can only imagine that so many of you listening have your own set of horror stories where something froze, you were worried, they ripped off something from your mail, or they caught you with the spyware thing. Anyway, Robert Siciliano and I had a conversation about all kinds of things related to that malware and spyware and what you need and hooking it up and how clever they are about trapping you when it looks like it's real. So here's a little window of that. Here's something I didn't think about, and for people listening, I know a lot of them use this. What about Foursquare? I guess it's easy for people to track you down. And so many people I know, Robert, I don't understand why they don't get this because they're tech savvy. You go onto Facebook and they're telling you every place they've just gone, where they're going to lunch, where they just picked up cleaning, where they're headed.
Yeah. So I'm not too crazy about location-based services. And what they are ultimately is a digital explanation of your whereabouts. And they don't just tell everybody where you are, but they also tell everybody where you're not. And so that intelligence could be used against you in a number of different ways. From a personal security perspective, you know, like violence prevention, theft prevention, in the physical world, that's what concerns me most about these types of services, location-based. Now, Foursquare in itself is fine. It's just how the bad guys might use it. And so I don't like the idea of somebody knowing where I am at all times or if I'm not home or if I am home or whatever the case is. So if you're going to get involved in location-based services, just simply understand what the risks are. You know, knowing that, you know, if somebody knows that you're at Starbucks, that means you're not home, which makes your home that much more vulnerable to theft, to a break-in. You know, I guarantee you, if you're somebody who's being stalked by a mentally ill person, the chances are you're not going to want to be involved in some type of a location-based services. And people who do get involved, them, you know, they don't realize that people, you know, have a lot of time in their hands, some of them, and they're paying unwanted attention to you, whether you like it or not. And that can sometimes lead to bad things. So you just have to really weigh the pros and cons of it. Certainly there are some pros, but from my standpoint, there are definitely some cons.
Yeah, there's some cons, and that's one of them, as he's saying. There's an example in using technology that you get bit right there. And it's like I was saying with the spyware thing, same thing. You think you're okay, and you're not. And it's just that click of the button, and you try to get out of it. Oh, the worst feeling in the world, and I know it's a common denominator for all of us. I know you can relate to that. It's frustrating, isn't it? Can't we just go back to writing letters, writing notes? I can't even remember what the old computers used to look like. I remember the bag phones. Remember the bag phones, because not everybody had them, and then someone would have this big bag phone they'd be walking around with, the big blocks. It's like if you go to that, if you rent or you have that first Wall Street movie with Michael Douglas, he's on the beach, supposedly supposed to be the Hamptons, and he has that big brick in his hand. It seems so odd when you think of how tiny the phones are now. And the Bluetooth technology and everybody walking around just spewing things out there. But, I mean, who knows, all these portals that you're now are open, what you're inviting in. So check that out. Go to On Demand. If you go to the first hour of our show, you'll hear that interview with Robert Siciliano, the whole thing. And he's got some just great suggestions, because it's very easy when you're swamped and you just don't download all the virus stuff, and then before you know it, you're not running it and you're caught and they've got you and they've got your information. And oh, it's a mess, because I've had to do it now twice. It's a mess to get out of it. Sad story to report with trains. This story we didn't talk about, but as a person who used to ride a bunch of trains, the Amtrak trains in Oakland, California, 18 people were injured. They're lucky it wasn't worse than that. How did these two trains collide? But two of them did, and no, there's no words, no word even now on how serious this happened a few hours ago. There's no word on how serious it was, just that it was like an awful jolt is what the people are saying. And, you know, the first thing I'm thinking is every time we have one of these train things, somebody is texting, someone's distracted. I wonder if it's a situation where they were distracted or saw something and that's what made that happen. But I think the last time I was on an Amtrak train, it wasn't, it was in the summer, and it was smooth. I didn't have any problems, but I'm thinking at how fast that train went. Oh, I can't even imagine what that impact would be like to colliding with another one, especially if you were near where the two hit. Can you imagine how you would feel, how you would bounce back from that? Ooh. We're going to end on this note because, you know, the situation with the craziness for the Saudi ambassador, the plot to take him out in the U.S. would have been absolutely an act of war. We'll see what the administration decides is the appropriate response. There's more economic sanctions already, I know. But I think that's scary that we let Iran dance around us the way they do. And I think it's going to come to a point where we can't pussyfoot around this anymore. We're going to have to make the decision of whether we seriously bomb Iran. I really think it's going to come down to that. Well, speaking of bombing, a Nigerian man, Abdullah Matala, pleaded guilty Wednesday to trying to bring down a plane with a bomb in his underwear. He told a federal judge in Detroit he acted in retaliation for the killing of Muslims worldwide, and he referred to the fatal explosive as a blessed weapon. Yeah. He said he worked for Al-Qaeda and never denied the allegations, never. He entered a plea. He entered the plea of guilty against his attorney's advice on the second day of his trial. He'll probably get mandatory life for that 2009 attack that would have killed about 300 people on Christmas Day above the skies of Detroit. It was very calm. I was looking at some of the artist renderings of him when he answered the questions and read a political statement warning that if the U.S. continues to persist and promote, he called the blasphemy of Muhammad and the prophets, it risks a great calamity through the hands of the Mahajin soon. Ooh. Gotta go after Iran.